seconds. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. It's Tuesday, so of course it's Football Tuesday. We have a lot to get into on the show today. We will talk NFL. The franchise tag window is now open. That's a big topic in the NFL. We'll also talk quarterbacks. We'll continue to talk some free agency. That's all straight ahead on the show today. We'll also catch up with Carbon High School basketball coach Jared Butler. And we got to talk high school basketball. State championship tournament is coming up this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Do not forget Carbon on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. You'll get Emory right here on KOAL. So we'll talk to Coach Jared Butler about that in just a bit. Plus, we'll give you the local sports recap of everything that's happening locally. We got so much to pack in. I want to make sure we can get to it all. So we're going to break for just a moment. Again, local sports recap coming up. And then it's Drive Time Sports. That's straight ahead right here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
It's the best week of the year, no question about it. We have the High School 3A State Championship coming up this weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we know that we'll have the Carbon Boys, the Carbon Girls, and the Emory Girls. You will be able to listen to all those live play-by-play calls here at Castle Country Radio. We're going to talk about one of those teams in particular. In fact, the team that will start off Thursday for us at 11:10 on KRPX 95.3 The Peak, the Carbon Dino Boys basketball team. They picked up a thrilling win over the North Stampede Hawks this past Friday, and joining us right now to talk about that more, we have head coach Jared Butler. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
How much gray hair do you have after Friday night?
Oh, crazy, crazy game, wasn't it?
Yeah, to say the least, Coach. I mean, it really does. It's a character win. There's no question. I mean, you guys obviously should have won this game in regulation. Some unfortunate circumstances led to that not being the case. And then when you look at it, to blow a double-digit lead in the latter part of a fourth quarter and then fight back from a pretty hefty deficit in the first overtime to get a win in double overtime, I think you can chalk that up as a character win.
No, yeah, they didn't quit. I saw a little bit in their eyes where they got nervous in that overtime. They were nervous there towards the end of the game, obviously, but I was nervous along with them, but I just am proud they didn't quit. More than anything, that was, especially when we went into the double overtime, we had a little change of momentum, but frustrating how that the closing the game out went. But I mean, sometimes things like that happen, and man, I'm just glad we had a 11 point lead with just over a minute, because when it started to happen, it came fast.
Yeah, it happened really, really fast. And I know that in a high school game, Coach, when there's no shot clock, you typically don't see momentum switch on a dime like that. We've seen it a few times over the last 10 or so years. But what did you tell the kids at the end of regulation? How did you get them mentally back into the game? Because I'm sure it was probably a little overwhelming to see the way the regulation came to a close.
Well, it was. We had talked of a few things in practice and scenarios. I watch, you know, the shot we talked about yesterday. We went over and watched the film, the shot with okay, he's hit two on us. Now it's a three-point lead. There's 14 seconds left, and we launch up a shot from the corner. Had we held on to that, they have to foul. You know, the crazy thing was is I was expecting him to foul. We have a six-point lead. We pass it into Preston. And Preston, I put him on that side of our press break saying, look, they're going to foul. Well, he didn't. Well, he was bump checking him, but they're not going to give that foul to you. And, okay, so then we need to get it to the point guard and then get it up the floor. Well, we turn it over. You know, we turn two or three costly turnovers, and it was just like a train wreck. But, I mean, I hope we learn from it. Obviously, I hope. Even all the younger guys that watch learn from it. Me as a coach, I see it in slow motion as Merrick's taking that shot. I should have, would have, could have screamed out a timeout, you know, but then the shot goes down and you're like, oh, what? You know, there's all those things run through your mind after. But then we had the same thing in the double overtime where he could have shot another one, and luckily we pulled it back out. But there's just a lot of crazy things happening. In the overtime, I said, you guys have done too much this year to quit and just keep fighting and battling. And then they get that lead, you know, that was a really tough thing when I think they got up three or four. And then, luckily Preston hits a shot there. But we have two or three set plays to get a 3-point shot off, and a couple of them they were really, you know, jumping on, they'd seen, and I just figured we have to take this chance with Preston. He's our tallest player. I know they're going to get through this pick, but Keenan had an amazing pick, and it was actually Merrick's guy from the corner. I mean, you can see the pictures. He almost got to Preston.
Yeah,
and it was just, I mean, inches, but the shot went up and it was good. And then all of that momentum, when we came back in for that final, I mean, we could see it in their eyes that they're ready to go. But it still was tight. Once we got that 2-3-point lead, then it was, you know, but that could have went either way.
Right. No doubt. And so, Coach, I got to ask you, with everything that you just mentioned and kind of walking through that fourth quarter, when you get to the locker room, what's that like after the game? I mean, was that unlike any Carbon High School locker room you've ever been a part of?
Yeah, it was. We actually threw up all the stats like we always do. We talked about it, but I was just so proud of them. You know, they've worked so hard. They've had quite a few games that just went right to the end that could have went our way. You know, and we talked about this from the start. Luckily for the first half of the season, we only have one loss. But the second half of the season, it's just the opposite for us. And that was my biggest fear going into that game was, you know, we come off of a couple tough losses. How are we going to respond to that? And I thought they did amazing. You know, for the most part, we got up on them early, and we played well. The start of the second half was a frustration. We came out a little flat, and they hit some, got caught back up to us. But I don't know. Then we recovered and we played well. That was. I don't know. It was just, we've gone through a lot of ups and downs this year, but I think with our region, we kind of expected it.
Yeah, no doubt. Such a difficult region all the way front and back. Again, our guest right now is Coach Jared Butler of the Carbon Donald Boys basketball team. And Coach, now that you get past that, is it easy to put one of those games behind you? Or is it something that you don't want to put behind the kids? Because I've seen teams, A, become satisfied after games like that, or B, it motivates them. And you think, man, the stars are aligning for us. And so what was that like yesterday at practice?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of film on this Cranesville team. You know, they have them ranked one in the state. They're a really good basketball team. But I just tried to explain to them, yeah, on paper, they're supposed to beat us, but anything can happen. You guys should have figured that out the other night against North San Pete. Anything can happen in these games. And when the emotions get going and pressure gets on, you never know. So all I need us to do is to just come out fighting. And hopefully, I have a feel like there's still a lot left in them. So,
well, let's talk about the opponent in Grantsville. Here's the number one team in the 3A classification. Very good squad. We got to see this team Friday night as they eliminated the Emory Spartans. And coach, immediately, everyone wants to talk about David Eakins, and I agree with that. Eakins is fantastic. He's different than anyone else in the state. I don't think there's any question, at least in this classification. But I was absolutely floored at the ability of their backcourt and the way their guards control the game. You know, we could talk about Eakins all day, but in the half-court set, this offense around the perimeter is pretty good.
Yes, the point guard, the Killian kid, I was talking to you before. He is as sound as any. You know, Manti has a really good one. I like some others that we've seen, but this kid, and then the rest of them that go along with him, they're fine tuned. You know, they keep their spacing, they cut, they don't force shots, they take the right shots, they rebound well, and then defensively, they're really special. So that's, to me, yeah, I mean, they're a hard team to beat if you take their big off the court and you put any other kid in there. That's going to be a way hard team to beat, and then he just opens everything up for them. So, yeah, I mean, it's a solid team watching them, and I'm sure seeing them live is going to be a little different as well. But I'm really surprised by their quickness too.
Is it as simple, coach, defensively as saying, okay, or I can't even say defensively, is it as simple as saying the marquee matchup in this game will be Eakins versus Hatch?
I don't know. It would be nice if Keenan could handle him by himself. Not sure that's going to be able to happen, but it would be really good. He's had some giant games. Like Union has a solid football player, not quite this big, and Keenan had 11 blocks, if I remember, against him. You have San Juan's big. He's a really solid kid, and Keenan's done well, especially the first game against him. I would love to see that. That way we don't have to double down and leave their three-point shooters open. But I'm just hoping that we can keep our guards in between them and the basket and then strive to out-rebound them, you know.
On the glass, especially the offensive glass, I know you and I have had games this year where we have talked about the kind of work that you guys have been able to do on the boards, and that really has set the tempo, it seems like, multiple games this year.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you can just limit them to the one and then try to push, and if it doesn't work, but give us another, that's huge. I mean, and we've always had that as one of our goals every game. It's going to continue through however long we continue this season, just to give yourself an extra chance. And it's all about, and once you're doing that, that hustle comes along with everything else. So.
Well, coach, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a very interesting matchup. I know that the cliche is a chess match, but I believe that this is a game that could come down to that. I mean, really, a couple of plays could make the difference in this game.
I hope so. I hope that we're just giving ourselves a chance to be in it. If anything, the other night should prepare us for a close game if there is one. But the pressures of this, playing down there in a different place, but everybody has to do it. So hopefully our guys can adjust to that and then just keep their emotions in check and go have some fun and work their butts off. So,
well, coach, we'll see you at the game on Thursday. Thank you again for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jordan. We appreciate everything you do for us too. Thanks.
It's always my pleasure, coach. Again, Jared Butler taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. Let's break for just a moment. Football Tuesday, that's what's coming up next. We'll talk NFL.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. What do you think the NFL season's over. And it is, and we don't have the official new season for about another month. But Vinny, in the NFL, storylines write themselves.
And it happens instantly.
It does. It does. It never stops.
Never stops. When the Super Bowl ends, teams are already working, and the news starts the next day. Yep. The next day.
Okay, you threw out a statistic to me that you have to give me that stat again. You have to say this stat on air because I think it's absolutely fascinating.
Okay, from 2009 to 2016, there was 22 first-round quarterbacks. None of them are with their original teams, and half of them are not in the NFL right now.
None of them.
None of them.
From 2009 to 2016, no first-round quarterback
is with his team because we just seen Wentz get moved.
Right, we saw Stafford get moved.
We saw Stafford get moved, yeah.
We saw Goff get moved.
He got moved.
Trubisky's a free agent at the moment.
Trubisky's a free agent.
All right, so Vinny, the main reason I love that statistic is because it fits the narrative with the naysayers that don't agree with what the Rams are doing. Right, because you're in search of a quarterback. I think everyone's in search for a quarterback. Sometimes I think we get too caught up in finding an elite quarterback, as we have said multiple times here on this show. There's only four or five that exist.
Right.
Like that's it.
Right.
There's only
think
four or five that exist.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you willing to put Lamar Jackson in elite quarterback territory?
No.
He's serviceable, though, right?
Yeah.
It's Kyler Murray? He's a good player.
He's good player. No, they're not elite.
He's not elite. So when you have teams like the Rams, who have not had a first-round draft pick in 7 years, and you read these statistics, it doesn't sting as much.
No, it doesn't. And when you think about it, you see how much they value this now. Because you see half these guys aren't even in the NFL anymore, and they were first-round draft picks. And they're not even in the NFL now. They're not backups. I mean, a lot of these guys are not even there anymore. It just goes to show you, if you don't have that quarterback, you're always looking for that quarterback. I mean, your NFL team starts with... I mean, let's be honest, Jordan. The NFL revolves around the quarterback. Seeing a changing of the guard, and these guys are trying to find him. We've seen elite quarterbacks that are no longer, you know, in their prime... Roethlisberger, Rivers, you could honestly say those guys were elite quarterbacks. They were incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, no Manning doubt. Knocked on that door. There was Brady, Breeze. All these guys were in it, and most of them guys are now gone.
So let me ask you this. If a quarterback is so hard to find, which it is, okay, if it's so hard to find, why do you have teams like Detroit, who did get some draft capital for Stafford, tearing it all the way down and starting over? Why do you have teams like Philly, tearing it all down and starting over? And you have to look at that from the flip side as well. I guess I understand why a team would take a risk on Carson Wentz. It was low risk, high reward. We talked about
right.
this. But still, a quarterback is that hard to find.
It's just, I think the whole nature of the beast, I mean, it's the all-encompassing leader of your football team. And I think you're finding out if these guys don't fit the culture or they're not all in, then you don't need them there. So, you know, with Wentz, there was a glimpse of him being that guy, but he hasn't been that guy lately, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Stafford, I think it was just he wasn't buying into Detroit, and I think that had to happen. Because once you start the new coach, if you're not all in, then you don't need to be there. The quarterback has to be that leader, and he has to be in. And I think that that's just how you have to approach it. That's your guy. That's the face of your franchise. That is your leader. And if these guys come to you and they don't want to be there, then get something for them. Get something for them, move on. You know, for Detroit, they're looks like they're rebuilding their entire organization from the top down, right? Well, Stafford mentioned, hey, it's time for me to move on. Then get rid of him, get something for him.
So when you look across the board right now at teams that don't have quarterbacks, two stand out to me. Denver doesn't have a quarterback right now.
No.
Chicago doesn't have a quarterback
no.
right now. And both of these teams, and you and I briefly touched on this last week. I'm going to go back down this route. What do you do now if you're Denver or if you're Chicago? Because Deshaun Watson's not going anywhere.
No.
I think we can box that up, put it away.
Yeah, it'll have to be something nuclear
it's
to happen.
It's not happening this year.
Yeah.
Doesn't
I
mean
can't
it won't happen
happening.
Next year,
yeah.
but it's not going to happen this year. Okay, so when you look at the quarterbacks that are available, best free agent quarterback, it's... Mitch Trubisky.
It's Mitch Trubisky. Or does Jameis Winston play into this now?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you're looking at this now, taking that Winston's had a year to follow around Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael, Joe Lombardi, that whole coaching staff, right? Plus follow Drew Brees around. Do you value him more now? There's a guy that threw for 5,100 yards.
Yeah, only eight other people have done that.
Yeah, he can sling it.
Mm-hmm.
The reset with this new staff... and this organization, this difference being in New Orleans, do you value him a little more now?
Well, I think...
Let me ask you this. If you had your choice of Jameis Winston, Drew Lock, or Mitch Trubisky, who would you take?
I'm going to probably go with Jameis.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably go with Jameis based off of...
And I would have took Jameis last year. Oh, yeah. Those two?
Yeah.
Now, when you add in this year or this last season that he, you know, been through in New Orleans, you don't think he learned a lot of offensive football down there? Do you think it helped him just following Drew Brees around?
Should.
You
it should.
Right.
It's his last shot.
And they didn't rush him, obviously, because Taysom Hill got a 4-game audition.
Right.
And don't tell me that audition wasn't for next year, because that's exactly why Taysom Hill was a quarterback. Because they knew Drew Brees' days were numbered, and they're auditioning to see, hey, do we have something here or not? We paid the guy. Did we mess it up or not? I think he had an audition for that. So I would value Winston more. Honestly, what else do you have? Marcus Mariota?
I was going to mention Marcus Mariota. I was going to mention him. And look, there's a lot of people speaking highly of Mariota right now. And I guess the next question would be, how did Mariota and Winston, remember, this is number one and number two.
Number one, right? And two, like Goff and Wentz.
This is Goff and Wentz,
yeah,
right?
One and two.
How did Mariota handle his time as a backup compared to Winston handling his time as a backup? And I'm going to tell you, Vinny, just based off of what's out there, it sounds like Mariota handled his time as a backup better, because the reviews are glowing with Mariota right now.
But we haven't heard any trouble out of Winston, though.
We haven't.
Well, out of New Orleans, there's never been, you know, Peyton had a lot of nice things to say about Jameis Winston.
But can I tell you what worries me about Winston? Sean Payton's a smart guy.
Yeah.
I don't like Sean Payton, and I don't know if you like Sean Payton or not.
Offensively, Sean Payton's top notch.
He's great.
Yeah.
If this guy believes that Taysom Hill is a better fit moving forward at quarterback, that speaks volumes against Jameis Winston.
Yes, I agree with
you. Because Taysom Hill is not a good quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I wonder if that's what the 4 games was for. Peyton to see that. Say, I know what I have with Winston. He threw for 5,100 yards. I have no idea what Taysom Hill's going to do out here. Is he a backup gadget player?
Yes.
Well, that's what the four games probably kind of proved to us, right? Mm-hmm. You watch him play quarterback, you're like, that offense ain't going to, he's not throwing 4,500 yards.
No. No way.
So, I don't know, but this is interesting because you get into these, and one of the coaches said, we've said on this on air before, one of the great offensive coaches of the past said there's 9 billion people on this planet, and we have trouble finding 32 of them to play NFL quarterback. Now, that's an amazing stat. And then I throw the stat at you that 22 of these guys, half of them aren't in the league and none of them with their original teams. It's hard to find a franchise quarterback.
It's hard to find a franchise quarterback, and I have to go back to it. I just don't value first-round draft picks the way most people do.
And I agree with you on that. And then what do we see every year is the quarterback gets overdrafted.
Every year. You mentioned Christian Ponder. Christian Ponder was a perfect example. And I actually liked Ponder coming out of Florida State. I did. I thought, Ponder looks okay. Right? But I believe Minnesota drafted him 12,
14,
15,
somewhere.
Yeah. Completely overdrafted. And I think you could go down the list. Blake Bortles was overdrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Lamar Jackson was not overdrafted.
No.
Lamar Jackson was found back half the first 30th. I think it was the 30th pick.
They'd trade back in to get him.
Right? He wasn't overdrafted. Look at a Dak Prescott. He wasn't overdrafted.
No, fourth rounder, I believe.
Yeah. So, I think you have teams that draft quarterback out of need. And when you draft out of need, typically you're reaching.
You're reaching. Yeah.
Typically, that's what happens.
And as quarterbacks, you see it every year. How many names have we seen where we're just looking at each other like, Johnny Manziel, Brandon Whedon, Christian Ponder, E.J. Manuel comes to mind for me.
Mid-20s, yeah.
Yeah, E.J. Manuel. I was like, what? When that come across the screen, I was like, what? Mark Sanchez even got, he was the fifth pick, I believe.
Fifth or sixth, yeah.
Yeah, he was overdrafted.
Okay, so now that we're gearing up for the draft, it's not too far off, 2 months away. Who's that guy that gets over-selected? And I have to spell this out for people just so they're aware. You have a draft board. We'll say the top 30, okay? They're not selected 1 through 30 the way these teams have them pegged on their grease board.
Absolutely not.
That's not the way it goes.
No, it's not the way it goes.
So you have a guy that's top 10 talent, a la Aaron Donald, getting drafted 14th,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you have teams reaching.
Mm-hmm.
You have teams drafting for need rather than the best player available. And remember, we had a couple of NFL scouts on, and they were talking about that right there.
Mm-hmm.
They would prefer that an NFL team drafts the best talent available. That's what they would prefer. Doesn't always happen that way.
No, it doesn't.
So who's the quarterback you're most afraid of being a reach?
You know, it's funny, and you're going to see it this year. We're going to
see it.
I think we're going to see five first-rounders this year.
Okay.
And I think
name
the team that it's hard to define that. So the team that reaches is the team that rushes, I guess I would say. Because you have five guys with first-round ability, right? I think there's five guys with first-round ability.
Okay, well, let's name them. Trevor Lawrence.
I think the Wilson kid would be
Zach Wilson.
Okay, I've seen him make throws. They're incredible.
Fields.
Okay. Trey Lance. And Mac Jones.
Okay. I don't believe Mac Jones is the first-round
pick. I think Mac Jones is going to end up being the best one.
I don't think so. I'm not a believer in Mac
and
Jones.
And the reason I say that is because the decision-making and everything upstairs is more important than the physical part of it.
I can see that. However,
we see this
all the time at Alabama, though, and it's not fair. It's not fair, Vinny. It's not fair for me to say, okay, well,
nobody's done at Alabama what he did, though, either. He basically said every record they got.
Yeah, but nobody at Alabama ever had the offensive.
You know,
here's an
interesting quote, though. Let me ask you this. So today, Devontae Smith, when they asked him straight up to or Mac Jones, they didn't even finish it before he said Mac Jones.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, he was the third pick in the draft, right?
Fifth.
You're right. Dolphins picked third this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's the fifth pick in the draft.
Thanks, Houston.
Yeah, thank you. I like Mac Jones. Now, the team that's going to reach is, the one that's going to be reach is the kid from North Dakota State in Trey Lance. Because physically it's there, but some of these guys aren't ready to do this yet. And that's just because of the coaching and the play time and everything else. This guy's had, I think, 12 games. I want to say something like that.
It's similar to
12
Mitch
or 13
Trubisky.
Game. Yeah.
It's very similar.
These guys, they get thrown in. They get rushed. Now, if he sat for 2 years and started his first game, the situation would be light years different.
A la Jordan Love. Okay.
So I think someone's going to reach and play Lance or Justin Fields too soon. They're going to bust.
I'm still going with Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And this is why. Hear me out here, because greatest college football coach of all time.
Nick Saban.
Okay. Let's go back over the list of quarterbacks that he has had. Yeah. And you look at the offensive weapons that have been around them. They're designed to put up crazy statistics. I think you take Mac Jones' stats this year and throw them out the door, because over the course of the last 10 years under Nick Saban, Alabama had a defensive identity, did they not?
Absolutely.
Okay. Their defense was not great this year.
Not great.
It was good.
It was good. Not great. It was not Nick Saban great.
Okay. So when you have an explosive player like a Najee Harris and a Devontae Smith, and, I mean, Jaylen Waddle, you just go down the list, and your defense, which was good, not great, is allowing you more reps offensively, what's going to happen?
Yeah, but these guys, you've seen so many of these, you know, he's won six titles there with six different quarterbacks, basically.
And none of them have panned out.
None of them panned out.
Who has?
And you know, the one they think that most highly of is Mac Jones.
Yes, but at one time it was Tua.
Well, I think if you're breaking down, I bet you if you ask scouts this year, and of course we're never going to say, because they're never going to admit it. I bet you if they were apples to apples this year, I would be surprised how many guys pick Mac Jones over Tua. And he was the fifth pick in the draft last year.
So if we had 32 teams, and all 32 teams had their choice of Mac Jones and Tua last season.
Yeah, you take Tua's last year at Alabama, Mac Jones, going into the draft, head-to-head.
You think more than half select Mac Jones?
Yes. Yes, I do. I believe that. Hey, we're going to find out.
Yeah, we'll find
that's
out.
Why,
yeah.
That's why we're here to do, you know, that's why we could do this on air, you know. But I like him.
You've been high on this kid, though.
I like him. And it's his decision-making and the touch.
Yeah.
And, you know, he throws people open, and none of the other players do. The only other player that does is the Wilson kid from BYU. And I'm telling you right now, he's garnering momentum. I bet you there's 10 teams right now that have him ranked either dead, even, or above Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence's stock is not rising.
It's not rising. And Wilson's is.
Yeah. And you know who's is slowly plummeting? Justin Fields.
It's slowly
starting to plummet.
As you get into this film, when these guys spend the real time breaking this stuff down, you see who gets more and more and more, and then less and less and less. And Wilson's way up, and Fields is slowly going down.
Number one pick. Who's it going to be?
It's going to be Lawrence.
All right. Well, you would assume that Urban Meyer knows who he is.
And it's a cultural, and it's a time, and everything else. And another year, in a different organization, you wouldn't be surprised if Wilson would be right there neck and neck. It'd be half and half split.
Number one picks. Value them. First round picks. Value them or not.
I would trade for a veteran. If I had a chance,
I would too.
Veteran players.
I would too. We're going to get out for a quick commercial break. More coming up. It's Drive Time Sports, and we're here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
So now you open my eyes.
Here comes the quarterback, Burrow, looking for a block, and he got it up in the front by Hopkins into the end zone. Touchdown!
I feel I gotta lose my way.
Football Tuesday here on Drive Time Sports. You know you can franchise tag players now? The tag window is going to open this week.
Yeah, I didn't know that was coming so quickly. Because the league year is March 17th.
It's got to come before free agency.
Yeah.
So, makes sense to me. And I think when you look, first off, Vinny, you and I have really dissected the cap, and it's hard. The cap is really hard to understand in the NFL. I could sit here and talk NBA salary cap with you all day. I could tell you everything you need to know about it. Exceptions, bird rights, anything. Once you cross, you're going to pay a fee. If you cross for 2 years, you're going to pay a multiple fee. Like,
yeah, it's a soft cap.
It's a soft cap, but it's somewhat simple. The NFL, it's a myth. I mean, you can have a team like the Chiefs. They will be $17 million under the cap within 2 weeks. I guarantee you. Right now, they're 17 over. They will maneuver that $34 million around for this offseason coming up soon. Guaranteed. So the NFL cap, when people tell me, well, they're capped out. There's one team that is in salary cap hell right now, and that's the New Orleans Saints. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I can't think of another team that is in salary cap hell.
No. And with the cap going up, we're assuming it's going to be about 183. The number is going to be right next to 183.
Yeah, we were calling 180 to 185 somewhere in that area.
So it looks like the rumor is the teams, and it seems like the NFL wanted 175. The teams in NFLPA threw a fit because of all the free agents that would get cut to get to 175. Mm-hmm. So they kind of slowed the growth, but that comes March 17th.
Right.
And you have to be under the cap on that date.
Okay, so let's look.
And we're seeing that already, right? Guys getting cut left and right.
Yeah, we are.
Today, Alshon Jeffrey got it.
Yep. DeSean Jackson's already been cut.
Kwon Short got it the other day in Carolina.
That was
like
a surprise.
Three or four guys got it in Carolina, actually. Yep. Trey Boston. That was surprising.
Didn't play real well last year. Shouldn't have a hard time finding a home.
No, but for saving $3 million.
Right.
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
So, tag amounts. Quarterback at 24.1. That's what the estimate is for a quarterback. Dak Prescott's getting tagged.
No doubt.
It's simple. He's getting tagged, and I think it works for both. Really, rarely does a tag work for a player, but when you're coming off an injury like that, all he's got to do is play moderately well, and he's going to get taken care of. But he's going to get tagged. Running back, 11.1. There's no running back that's going to get franchise tag. Wide receiver, 16.4. And this is why it's really interesting to me at 16.4 is because we'll look at the defending Super Bowl champs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chris Godwin's hitting free agency. This guy's 24 years old. Chris Godwin's pretty good.
He is pretty good.
He
had a rough playoff stretch there.
He did. But Tampa's got to tag him if they don't come to an agreement before the 17th. They have to.
They got a lot of free agents there. You know, it's the Super Bowl team, you know, and here's a guy that was, you know, you look at that Super Bowl game, he was the third target in that game.
Yeah, but what does he do to the game, though?
He does. He's a player, but you can't keep him all.
No, but he's 24.
Right.
He's 24 years old.
Receiver is a position normally that kids can play well right away.
Yeah, you can get cheap speed.
Yeah, that's a difficult position because you're drafting receivers. The way the game's playing now, you're seeing young receivers contribute.
So you're saying no?
I wouldn't.
You don't think they tag him?
No.
Shaq Barrett.
That one I would. Yeah, when you see the reason. Well, you want a playoff. You went on a playoff run and you won the Super Bowl. And you're going to tell me the receivers were the reason?
That's a fair point.
Or was your defense the reason? Yeah.
It was your offensive line and your defense.
Exactly. So for me, it's Shaq Barrett, Lavonte David, Chris Godwin would be third on my list if I'm Tampa Bay.
Okay, what about Kenny Galladay? If you're Detroit, you tag Galladay.
I agree with you. That's a different situation. Galladay's coming off an injury, but no, this kid can flat play. I think he led the NFL in touchdowns 2 years ago.
he's one of the best receivers when it comes
to... and you got a new quarterback. You need some players. You're building something. That's a homegrown player. Tag him.
1 year. Because Detroit hasn't submitted to a full rebuild yet. They haven't said that. They may have traded Stafford.
But they got a complimentary piece for it. You got Goff for it.
They're not tearing it down.
No.
This is a team that did draft DeAndre Swift last year.
Who looked good,
right? They got a couple of options, actually, out of the backfield. You got a stud tight end.
Yes.
You get your number one weapon in Galladay. I don't believe Marvin Jones comes back, so you're probably looking for a complimentary piece on the outside.
Looking for number two receiver.
But that's okay. You're not in full rebuild mode. You're not Philadelphia.
No, you're not down to the studs.
So Galladay,
Yes, that's a tag.
It's 16 mil.
Yeah.
You're okay with it. What about Trent Williams? You tag Trent Williams? And the asking price right now for a left tackle, or tackle, offensive lineman's 14.5.
Yeah, that's not a bad number. They have pretty good, they're in pretty good shape there. They need help. Garoppolo is not, he can't carry the team. Jimmy Garoppolo will not carry that team.
I can't believe he's going to be the quarterback in San Francisco next year.
So I like Trent Williams, McGlinchey on the other side. Kittle can flat play. Running backs with dime a dozen with Shanahan's. I mean, we've seen it over the years. They pull them out of everywhere. Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, they look like they got weapons. If they get the defense healthy, yeah, it's a no-brainer for me. I think you tag him.
Am I missing anyone? I mean, you and I were talking about John Johnson. I think the Rams would be foolish not to tag John Johnson.
Yeah, safety. I think John Johnson gets a tag.
It's 11.1.
Hunter Henry's going to get a tag.
Hunter Henry should get a tag.
And I think that, what's that one, 12?
Tight end is looking at 10.
Oh, that's a no-brainer.
So he would be
he gets a 20% raise because he got tagged last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're looking at $12 million. Oh, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I think those are probably the tag candidates.
I don't see anybody at corner.
I mean, maybe Leonard Williams is possible for a tag.
You know, the Giants have some money. I think that's possible.
Because I guess the way I get to look at a Williams, if we're talking Leonard Williams or we're talking Trent Williams, either which way you look at it, you basically, these are two teams in the Giants and the 49ers that made a trade. They didn't give up a whole lot.
They didn't give up a lot, but you want to gain something back
from it. And so with a franchise tag, you can for 1 year.
You can, and Trent Williams played great. This is a guy that didn't play for a couple years, basically.
Right.
And then you have Leonard Williams, who finally, you looked at him and you knew this kid had the ability to be dominant. And last year he was.
Leonard Williams looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think he had 11 and a half sacks.
Yeah, he played pretty well. He was.
Let's be honest, the Giants, and hey, who, you know, the Giants weren't playing with the lead a lot. Those weren't garbage sacks, Jordan.
No.
They were not playing with the lead in the fourth quarter a whole lot. So he earned every one of those sacks. So that was impressive.
Yeah, I don't know of anyone else that we really missed. I mean, we talked about Shaq Barrett, and I agree with you. Shaq Barrett's probably the guy in Tampa Bay.
And, you know, the goal is, even with the franchise tag, if you tag him, is to get a long-term deal done and lower that cap number.
Okay, so let me throw this out there for you. One more team we can talk about as far as the franchise tag is concerned. We're going to go to Chicago. We'll talk Matt Nagy. Because I've said all along that since they declined that option on Mitch Trubisky, they may have to tag him. I've said that for a while, and people laughed at me when I said that. But
they shouldn't have laughed because you're dead on. Because what does Chicago do?
It was comical at the time, but when the Bears worked their way into the playoffs, I said it here with you on the show.
Yeah.
They may have to tag this guy.
They may have to tag Trubisky.
They didn't get Wentz. They didn't get Stafford. They didn't get Goff. Who else is out there for them to get? You decline that fifth-year option, you may have to. He took you to the playoffs. Okay, but you have Allen Robinson on the outside as well. And this is why Pace is one of the worst general managers in football. I have no idea what their plan is. I have no idea what they're doing.
I don't think they know.
Well, we can look at Philly and say, okay, they're in a rebuild mode.
Yeah.
We just talked about Detroit. They didn't go full rebuild. Right? We can look at all these teams that we've been talking about. I don't know what Chicago's doing, Vinny. I have no idea.
I don't think they do either. I don't think they have a clear vision. They really don't. They look in disarray right now. They don't have a clear vision. A-Rob, you got to pay him. Robinson's been incredible. And you got to keep him. But who throws to him? I don't know what number they're picking. I think they're in the 20.
Yeah, well, they went to the playoffs, so they're picking in the bottom 17.
So
the bottom 15, excuse me.
Yeah, so, yeah, them quarterbacks aren't going to be there. Now what do they do? I mean, honestly, I mean, do you ask Trubisky to take a long-term deal? You obviously don't believe in him. You bench him for Nick Foles.
Or do you
let him walk and you say, all right, well, I'll draft a quarterback or I'll trade and let Nick Foles hold on to it for a little bit while I get a quarterback ready. Well, if you're nagging Ryan Pace, you're not going to see that. You're going to be fired.
Yeah, they're picking 20. So by the time you're picking 20, I don't see a quarterback available.
No, there's nobody left.
Unless you really, really reach. And at that point in time, you're probably better off. Me personally, when I'm picking in the 20s, 20 to 32,
trade.
I like edge rush at that point in time. I really do.
Yeah, and honestly, let's think about this. What is their plan?
I agree with you. You got to pay Robinson. You have to.
He's a player. Who throws it to him? I don't think they really know. This team's stuck right there middling. They're just there.
And I think
there's some players there.
Yeah,
the offensive line.
That's what I was going to say. They're all right.
Whitehair can play. The running back, Montgomery kid.
David Montgomery. He can play. Yeah, he's versatile.
Tariq Cohen can play.
He can play. Cole Kmet was a kid that they drafted. He can play. So they have some weapons.
But it just looks like that offense seems lost.
And that's the problem. Matt Nagy was brought in.
Just to revolutionize that offense, and they look lost.
Okay, so who do you tag? Do you try to get a long-term deal worked out with Robinson and tag Trubisky? That's horrible. That's costing you a lot of money.
Yeah, I think I would tag Robinson, because who's going to sign Trubisky? He's going to be there. You don't have to tag him. The very first day of free agency, who's going to call and offer Trubisky the world? You probably have time to get something done with Trubisky at a better number. So I would tag Robinson and then work out a long-term deal and then, see how it plays out for you.
Oh, the Bears.
The Bears, yeah, because if you don't draft a guy and Trubisky don't pan out, you're stuck with what? Nothing? Nick Foles?
Super Bowl winning quarterback, I guess, but nonetheless, the next few weeks are going to be interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, they are. The tag will be cool. A hard number, and again, the NFL's got to rush and get this hard number and the cap set and give them that information, and then we're going to see a lot more veterans become available because teams are going to start cutting dead weight.
Well, next week, we got to start talking about the draft. We have to. But I also believe that by the time we hit next week, as you said, a lot of that dead weight, it's going to change the complexion of the draft in the
Absolutely.
Next couple of weeks.
And then the draft follows free agency, so your mock drafts that people give out now that are going out crazy, they're useless. Because once free agency hits, these guys are not going to be looking at offensive linemen.
Once you get past the top six or seven, it's hard to mock.
Yeah, and free agency changes everything anyway, so.
We'll get into that next week here on Drive Time Sports. That's going to do it for Football Tuesday. Again, the NFL writes its own storylines.
Yeah. There'll be plenty to talk about.
There will be. It never ends. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.